Other matters. As promised early in this book, we have dealt here at depth with only one propaganda myth, and have in no sense attempted to cover the general field of World War II revisionism. There is no point in repeating here what has been ably said by other authors, who have contributed to demolishing lingering mythology relating to the war, but a few words, intended mainly to direct the reader to the appropriate literature, are in order. The myth of Germany's solitary responsibility for the outbreak of war in 1939 has been demolished by the American historian David L. Hagen in his book, The Forced War. A. J. P. Taylor's, The Origins of the Second World War is not as extensive, but it has achieved a much greater circulation, and has been available in paperback for some time. Taylor's well-deserved reputation as a Germanophobe have made his book a notable addition to the revisionist literature. The myth of extraordinary Nazi brutality, as compared to the brutalities of the Western democracies, had been exploded by a number of books, of which the best is F. J. P. Veal's, Advance to Barbarism, of which a new and expanded edition appeared in 1968. Other noteworthy books are, Unconditional Hatred by Captain Russell Grenfell, R.N., America's Second Crusade by William Henry Chamberlain, and Frieda Utley's, The High Cost of Vengeance. However, these authors ignore one of the greatest crimes of the Western democracies, the forcible repatriation of Soviet citizens to the Soviet Union after the war, Operation Keel Haul. Most of what we know of this shameful episode is due to the efforts of Julius Epstein, a Jew who left Germany during the 30s for the usual reasons, but started his crusades for truth during the war, with his investigations into the Cotton Forest Massacre, and has spent the greater part of the post-war period investigating Operation Keel Haul. His book on the subject was published in 1973. Solzhenitsyn's The Gulag Archipelago offers a long discussion of Operation Keel Haul, which, because it is written from a Russian point of view, supplements Epstein's treatment notably. Nicholas Bethel's The Last Secret explores the political background of the forced repatriations. For a reader interested in a more thoroughgoing discussion of the revisionist literature, the best seems to appear in the testimonial volume Harry Elmer Barnes, edited by Arthur Goddard. The pamphlet by Barnes, Blasting the Historical Blackout, is a more intensive analysis of the status of World War II revisionism, and is still available. None of the above-named publications touch the gas chamber myth, or deal in a serious way with whatever was supposed to have happened in the German concentration camps. Here, we have treated the camps almost entirely from a single point of view, and have not deeply investigated the factual basis of other allegations of brutalities of a more random and less systematic nature. However, the Ilse Koch case, which was discussed in Chapter 2, pages 66-68, should be sufficiently instructive in distinguishing between fact and fiction, and the methods used at Dachau by the U.S. authorities, to produce quote-unquote evidence of extraordinary brutalities, should be conclusive. The scandal of the continued imprisonment of Rudolf Hess, who died in prison in 1987 at age 93, was treated by a number of books while he was alive, notably Prisoner No. 7, Rudolf Hess, by Eugene K. Byrd, one of the U.S. commanders at Berlin's Spandau prison, who broke regulations by not only talking to Hess, but also interviewing him in depth. Two other books are, Motive for a Mission by James Douglas Hamilton, and, Hess, The Man and His Mission by J. Bernard Hutton.